no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is December the 4th. Welcome. Let's just take a deep breath together. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. It's the holidays are in full effect. And some of you love it. Some of you are not having it. I'm somewhere in the middle, I think, of both of those places. I tend to really struggle with the commercialism and the meaninglessness, the things that we do in the frantic and panic, and just knowing that it's gonna all feel like such a big letdown at the end anyways. It feels obligatory sometimes. It feels chaotic sometimes, and I just often struggle that it's never enough. And I don't like that feeling. And so I try to make new memories, new traditions with things that are really meaningful. And boy, if you've got any that you want to share with me, I would love to swap and to hear what you all are coming up with. Regardless, let's not let the chaos suck us in and pull us away. Sometimes we have to fight for the peace and the joy that are ours in the midst of the season. So let me remind you, if you feel like you've lost those things, you can get them back. You just reach out and grab them, and then you don't let anyone rob you of them again. Easier said than done, but hey, we're in this together. Today we begin 2 Corinthians, and we're reading chapters 1 through 4. Let's jump in. This week we're reading the New English Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we may be able to comfort those experiencing any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow toward us, so also our comfort through Christ overflows to you. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort that you experience in your patient endurance of the same sufferings that we also suffer. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you will share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, regarding the affliction that happened to us in the province of Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of living. Indeed, we felt as if the sentence of death had been passed against us, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a risk of death, and he will deliver us. We have set our hope on him that he will deliver us yet again, as you also join in helping us by prayer, so that many people may give thanks to God on our behalf for the gracious gift given to us through the help of many. For our reason for confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that with pure motives and sincerity, which are from God, not by human wisdom, but by the grace of God, we conducted ourselves in the world, and all the more toward you. For we do not write you anything other than what you can read and also understand. But I hope that you will understand completely, just as also you have partly understood us, that we are your source of pride, just as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And with this confidence, I intended to come to you first so that you would get a second opportunity to see us, and through your help to go into Macedonia, and then from Macedonia to come back to you and be helped on our way into Judea by you. Therefore, when I was planning to do this, I did not do so without thinking about what I was doing, did I? Or do I make my plans according to mere human standards so that I would be saying both yes, yes, and no, no, at the same time? But as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the one who was proclaimed among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but it has always been yes in him. For every one of God's promises are yes in him. Therefore, also through him, the Amen is spoken to the glory we give to God. But it is God who establishes us together with you in Christ, and who anointed us, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. Now I appeal to God as my witness that to spare you, I did not come again to Corinth. I do not mean that we rule over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy, because by faith you stand firm. So I made up my own mind not to pay you another painful visit. For if I make you sad, who would be left to make me glad but the one I caused to be sad? And I wrote this very thing to you so that when I came, I would not have sadness from those who ought to make me rejoice, since I am confident in you all that my joy would be yours. For out of great distress and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not to make you sad, but to let you know the love that I have especially for you. But if anyone has caused sadness, he has not saddened me alone, but to some extent, not to exaggerate, he has saddened all of you as well. This punishment on such an individual by the majority is enough for him, so that now instead you should rather forgive and comfort him. This will keep him from being overwhelmed by excessive grief to the point of despair. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For this reason, also I wrote you, to test you to see if you are obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone for anything, I also forgive him. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did so for you in the presence of Christ, so that we may not be exploited by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now when I arrived in Troas to proclaim the gospel of Christ, even though the Lord had opened a door of opportunity for me, I had no relief in my spirit because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and set out for Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and who makes known through us the fragrance that consists of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a sweet aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the latter an odor from death to death, but to the former a fragrance from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like so many others, hucksters, who peddle the word of God for profit. But we are speaking in Christ before God as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? We don't need letters of recommendation to you or from you as some other people do, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone, revealing that you are a letter of Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on tablets of human hearts. Now we have such confidence in God through Christ, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as if it were coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate to be servants of a new covenant, not based on the letter, but on the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. But if the ministry that produced death, carved in letters on stone tablets, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not keep their eyes fixed on the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, a glory which was made ineffective, how much more glorious will the ministry of the Spirit be? For if there was glory in the ministry that produced condemnation, how much more does the ministry that produces righteousness excel in glory? For indeed, what had been glorious now has no glory because of the tremendously greater glory of what replaced it. For if what was made ineffective came with glory, how much more has what remains come in glory? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we behave with great boldness, and not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from staring at the result of the glory that was made ineffective. But their minds were closed. For to this very day, the same veil remains. When they hear the old covenant read, it has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. But until this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, which is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, just as God has shown us mercy, we do not become discouraged, but we have rejected shameful hidden deeds, not behaving with deceptiveness or distorting the word of God, but by open proclamation of the truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience before God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing, among whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so they would not see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the one who shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glorious knowledge of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that the extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are experiencing trouble on every side, but are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are knocked down, but not destroyed. Always carrying around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our body. For we who are alive are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal body. As a result, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. But since we have the same spirit of faith as that shown in what has been written, "I believed, therefore I spoke," we also believe, therefore we also speak. We do so because we know that the one who raised up Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. For all these things are for your sake, so that the grace that is including more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not despair, but even if our physical body is wearing away, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, because we are not looking at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. This is the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to do something I haven't done in a minute. I'm going to pull from The God of Your Story, written by my brilliant husband, and this is available in the Daily Audio Bible Store. That is not a cheap promo. This is a resource that is available to you, and I'm going to do this because this is the beginning of the book of 2 Corinthians. And nobody says these things better than my husband. So today we begin another of Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. We know it as 2 Corinthians. This letter is likely Paul's third epistle to the Corinthian church. The first one was referred to in 1 Corinthians, but it has not been preserved or discovered. There is generally no division among scholars about the authenticity of this letter, but there is some division on whether 2 Corinthians is a complete letter or if it is possibly the combination of two letters. This is because there is a noticeable change in tone between the front and back halves. 2 Corinthians was probably written on Paul's third missionary journey, which would date it to the late 50s AD. Titus, Paul's son in the faith, had visited the Corinthians and subsequently met with Paul during his travels. This allowed Paul to hear feedback on the church in Corinth and of the impact of his previous letter, which prompted Paul to write the letter we began today. By way of reminder, the church at Corinth was in a very sensual city. It was a collage of ideas and persuasions, as many large secularized cities are, and was rebellious in a lot of ways. As a part of the culture, this rebellion had found its way into the church. There was plenty of division to go around. A small group of members was playing church politics to gain power, even to the point of questioning Paul's authority over the church, his rules, his apostleship, and in many ways, even the gospel itself. So it's in this context that Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. The issues Paul deals with in the letter certainly sound familiar. In the modern church era, it's a different time period, and there is a different cultural wardrobe, but the issues of the heart that Paul mentions remain the same. As we read through 2 Corinthians, let's allow the Holy Spirit to shine the light of truth on our own motives and actions. Now, the only thing that I want to add to this is to please understand a little bit more in depth. We have this man named Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Savior, born of a virgin, a king of a different kind. The Israelite people were hoping and expecting and waiting for a king to come in power and dominion and authority in a different way. They were expecting this king to come in and to overtake the Roman Empire, the Roman government in Jerusalem, and restore them back to the people at the time when they were a PBD, a pretty big deal. And that's not the pretty big deal in the sense of how they thought they were a pretty big deal. They were a pretty big deal because they were living in covenant with God until they weren't. And then they lost the plot, but they still continued to think they were a pretty big deal. They expected Jesus to come restore them back to being a pretty big deal. But God never promised that that was going to happen. He said that they would come back, but things would never be as they were. And we meet Jesus, a king of a different kind. He comes lowly, he comes humbly, He comes to serve, not to be served. He goes to the marginalized. He goes to the oppressed. He heals the sinners. He eats with tax collectors. He offers forgiveness to the very man that betrayed him to the hands of his murderers. And Paul is emulating Jesus, lowly, humbly. Paul seems poor. Paul is not an eloquent speaker. Paul is mistreated, persecuted for his faith. And the people in Corinth follow the teachings of Jesus taught by Paul until someone shinier came in, someone sparklier came in, someone a little bit more eloquent came in, a little bit more charismatic, a little bit more powerful, more wealthy, had a different look, looked the part. Maybe you're starting to see the theme of the entire Bible if you've been here all year. We follow people that look the part. We follow people that speak a word that makes us feel good. We follow people and turn away from the truth of the message of Jesus and who he is, sometimes to follow anything that looks like, that feels like, that seems like Jesus. And I echo the words of the Old Testament prophets. I echo the words of every leader that followed the voice of God. Do not be deceived by what feels like a happy meal but will leave you unhappy an hour after you eat it. Do not be deceived by the shiny and the sparkly and the inauthentic, because eventually the shine wears off and you see underneath it was never shiny to begin with. It was never true. It was false to begin with. This message is every bit as relevant today. Jesus, we recognize you as the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. I pray, God, that our eyes would be so fixed on you, our ears would be so attuned to your voice that we would recognize in a second that which is unauthentically you. Not even a cheap imitation. There can be no cheap imitation of who you are. We are either walking in the truth or we are deceived by the darkness. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. This is my prayer. Lead me, guide me, direct me into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the free app. That is the website. Take a look around if you haven't. It's Christmas time. The Christmas boxes, they are out. They are available. They can be yours. You can get them while supplies last. They are a limited number, just so you know. And what comes in the Christmas box? I'm glad that you asked. Our Christmas blend of coffee, our chocolate hazelnut coffee. I want coffee first, but exclusive in the Christmas box this year. A collector's item, a collector's coin numbered. You get the number and the order that you ordered your Christmas box. And it comes in a beautiful presentation, a little box within a box. The box within a box. It's the gift that keeps on giving that you gotta keep opening. New little bracelets with the word of the year for next year. What else is in that box? I can't even remember right now. that may be it, but they're available now. Get them while you can. Our crew is doing such a great job getting these to you exponentially and meticulously with excellence. Very proud of them. Okay, if you would like to partner with us, this is 20 years of Daily Audio Bible we are celebrating, and we could not do this without you. If you are giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you're utilizing the app, hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for Give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so, 800-583-2164. Or again, if you're utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. And when you are finished, hit submit, turn the wheel to chronological, and it will get to the right place. Christmas time is here. Call in your Christmas greeting. It is one of our absolute favorite times of the year where we get to hear again collectively from the community and your Christmas wishes all across the globe. I am still working through the Thanksgiving episode, and man, I have been tore up in the best of ways. Your stories are so humbling. They are so beautiful. They are so profound. And I'm amazed by them. And I'm humbled to be here with each and every one of you. So, Christmas calls, call those in now. The same way as the prayer request or prayer for the community, keep it one call per person. And if you have a prayer or a prayer request, make that a separate call, but only one of each we ask because of the amount of calls. That's going to do it for me today. I'm Jill. We're winding this first week of December down together, making our way to the finish line. I love you all, each and every one of you. Until tomorrow. Love one another.
Hi, this is Lisa from Missouri. I, listening today, and heard the heart's cry of a mother for her son, Anthony, and his wife, Kayla. They've been trying to have a baby, and they are now pregnant with their child, And the lady that called in, I could hear the heart's cry of a mother for her children. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your son and your daughter-in-law. My son and daughter-in-law have been trying to get pregnant for 5 years now, and they've not had any pregnancies. I, as a mom, I see their heartbreak, I see their discouragement, I see their hope, I see their disappointment. So I understand a mother's heart's cry for her children. So just know I am praying for your children as they are celebrating the pregnancy, but I also know that they have their concerns, but God's plan is perfect. So trust in God and lay your son and daughter-in-law at his feet. He's got them. He's got them in his arms. Have a wonderful day, and God bless.
Good morning, GABC. Happy belated China. I want to right away pray for Anthony and his wife who are now pregnant. Father God, we just come to you and we ask that you bring that baby to full term, that it be your will, and that she have a very happy and healthy baby, and give peace to this mother, grandmother-to-be. We just thank you. And KSD, you coming on, telling me about Ezekiel's thankful thing on the kids group. I'm going to check that out. I just want to say to my whole family at DAB, I love you. This is his redeemed daughter. I went to the church the other day because I found the verse, are you, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offer in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Father God, I just thank you right now so much, Lord, through your son Jesus. It is all about you. And I have the hope because my pastor and his wife brought the team over and they anointed me with oil and they did pray over me. And I asked them in the week, like within a day, and I haven't even been there very often. So I just thank that whole team for praying for me. I'm going for my test December 1st today. Happy December 1st to everybody. I will find out if this cancer is gone. I am being very hopeful since yesterday was the day of hope. I lit my candles. Whether they work or not, I'm with Jill. Tradition is tradition, but sometimes we just do it. And I have hope. But whatever the Lord decides, I am at peace. And I pray that on December 11th, I will call you guys back with great rejoicing. And if not, then you will pray for me to get through whatever I need to get through. And the Lord God will be with me. I just want to be his child. And I want him to have the glory no matter what in the situation. I love you all. I am always praying for you all. I pray that everybody have a wonderful December. I'll ask one more thing, that my daughter, who is living in Chicago, we're going there the 18th to the 24th. It's very scary to me that it's going to be so cold and that she is really getting her first taste of very cold, stormy winter, like 8 degrees, 5 degrees and stuff, and really bad snowstorms. So she's by herself, so she'll be 26 and she walks to a bus. She takes two buses to go to school and to work, and it's freezing. And I just ask that you just lift her up in prayer. And I know that Jesus, God is with her, protecting and providing. I love you guys, and I just thank you for this podcast so much. May God bless you all and keep you well. I'll talk to you guys soon. Love you. Bye. Bye.